Today's News.
Hello again, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesteryear. School dinners this week, something that had been in the news again quite recently, a shake-up of primary school meals, in essence making them healthier, getting rid of desserts, or at least cutting down on them, offering more fruit and milk and cutting down on ultra-processed food. Which made me scrabble back into the files of the papers to see how school dinners had fared over the years. Suffice to say, there's been quite a change, but oft in the news stream. But unlike today, you go back 100 years or more, and you find things were quite different. I take you to the Mona's Herald of October the 14th, 1885, a Wednesday. Penny dinners for school children is the article. We publish in another column a letter from the chairman of the Douglas School Committee giving an interesting account of the work of the Penny Dinners Committee during last winter, together with a statement of receipts and disbursements in connection with the movement. We always sympathised warmly with this effort to supply the bodies of hungry urchins who couldn't otherwise procure it with good, hearty, substantial meal before endeavouring to cram their heads with mental nourishment. Great language. However questionable it may be whether the mensana is always most likely to be discovered in the corpore sano, there can, we apprehend, be little doubt that a fairly well-nourished body is absolutely indispensable to the existence of any active capacity for schoolwork. That turns out to be absolutely correct. There is a direct correlation between being well-fed and being able to work and learn. The public, the article goes on, will probably learn with equal surprise and satisfaction the startlingly trifling cost at which enormous number of dinners have been supplied. During the period for which the dinners were continued, namely from the 5th of January to the 21st of May, 9,767 dinners were given, and the total expense did not exceed, wait for it, £50. Bearing in mind that now we're talking about £2.50, I think it is, per dinner or thereabouts. The article goes on. The average daily attendance, we are told, was as high as 122. On several occasions during the winter months, we visited the room in Drumgold Street and looked on whilst a crowd of voracious youngsters, numbering sometimes more than 150, greedily and eagerly satisfied the pangs of hunger. To see the poor barefooted little scholars with their tattered garments crowding around the blazing fires to warm their chilled limbs before setting to at the Irish stew, hot pot, Manx broth or whatever the steaming dish might be, was a sight calculated to soften the hearts, could they only have witnessed it, of many whose lot in life is, dives like, to be clothed in fine linen and to fare sumptuously every day. Nearly 10,000 dinners and the cost not £50. 50 gentlemen could scarcely have dined together once for the same money at a fashionable hotel, and here, for the same sum, we have on nearly 10,000 different occasions a half-famished child warmed, well-fed and fitted for the excellent purpose of taking advantage of the great boon of national education which the law provides. The obverse of the medal, however, now calls for inspection. Notwithstanding the smallness of the above-mentioned outlay, funds have not been forthcoming to meet it. And the account now published shows it is deplorable to have to state a deficiency of no less than £23.09.07. We can hardly imagine that when once this is known to the charitable public of Douglas, there will be any lack shown of that generous spirit in which appeals for all good objects are, as a rule, responded to. The committee in this respect have certainly shown no want of faith, and although encumbered with a considerable debt, have valorously determined upon persevering with the work during the approaching winter. That they should be compelled to abandon their purpose through want of funds is what we refuse to believe anything but the most improbable contingency. If only they wrote that way in the papers still. Marvellous language, albeit a sad time, yes. Children barefoot at school, with no food whatsoever and in tattered clothes. I like to think that is not a common occurrence these days. We skip to the Mona's Herald of Wednesday, November the 30th, 1904. Free dinners for poor school children is the letter to the editor of Mona's Herald. Sir, I beg to submit the annual balance sheet for the above-named charity for the winter of 1903-104. We commence, it will be observed, with a smaller credit balance than last year. The cost per dinner has been as low as for the previous year, though slightly more than half a penny. Half a penny, as I say, £2.55 today, I think. Notwithstanding the strict economy practice, the food supplied was always excellent in quality, abundant in quantity, and thoroughly well cooked. I visited the large dining room in the basement of Hanover Street Schools at intervals throughout the winter, and on each occasion partook of some of the dish for the day. We opened again upon Monday the 7th inst, and the average daily attendance for the week reached as high as 368. There is, I regret to say, every prospect of the destitution this winter being very great. The number of men in the town out of work and who cannot get work is exceptionally large. Evidence pours in upon me from the teachers showing how the children are suffering from want of food. One teacher tells me of a case where the mother of an absent child came to the school weeping to say her child could not come to school as it had had no breakfast, and that her husband was walking the streets of Liverpool looking in vain for work. This story was investigated and found only too true, and the teacher assures me it is typical of a large number of cases in his own school. Here is an extract from a letter lying before me, written by the headmistress of an infant school to Mr. Quayle, the attendance officer. It's dated the 15th of November 1904. I have given dinner tickets to A and M this morning. Their mother came to see me and said their father has no work. She said, you know her. She seems a deserving kind of woman, and the children are always kept nice and clean. As they have no breakfast this morning, I have sent them down at once. The following is a note to the teacher for another school from a mother excusing the child's absence. Will you please excuse Nelly for being absent from school, as she has no boots and we have no food in the house, her father being a good many weeks out of work, and I have seven little children. I was before the committee last night for her. I wish you would give her a dinner ticket, as I have no food in the house. This statement, made in the cases, were independently investigated and found to be true. The article goes on, I wish the public, to whom I appeal, to understand that no child is eligible for the dinners unless named in a list supplied by the head teacher of the school which the child attends. The list is closely examined by the attendance officer, who, from its position, is necessarily more or less acquainted with all the children and their homes. He weeds out all those who there is good reason to believe could be provided with dinner at home, and the remainder alone are entitled to receive dinner tickets from the teachers. This list is watched from week to week, and children are struck off or put on according to change of circumstances. I do not say that we are not sometimes imposed upon for a brief period in isolated cases, but I do say that the risk of imposition is reduced to a minimum, and I know of no charity which suffers from less. Still very hard times indeed on that point, and really giving you a feel of just how poor parts of Lower Douglas and Central Douglas were 100 and 120 or more years ago. We'll skip quite a bit forward now to 1945, the Alaman Times, Saturday, July the 28th, and an advert. The Isle of Man Education Authority required early in September, beginning of the new term of course, a cook general to provide midday dinner for 40 to 50 school children at Castletown Victoria Road School. Apply by letter not later than the 4th of August to the Director of Education, the Education Office, Strand Street in Douglas. The salary, for what I assume would be at least a 40-hour week, £19.45 as a school cook, £2 a week. I don't think anyone would work for £2 an hour these days, would they? I don't think they'd work for £2 for half an hour. 1956 in the Isle of Man Times, Friday, July the 27th, 1956. Milk supply at secondary schools to go on, we read. When a proposal was made at the Education Authority meeting on Tuesday to stop the supply of milk to secondary schools, Councillor R.C. Stephen insisted on a division, although it was obvious that there was an overwhelming majority against, so that the names would go on record. The matter arose when the annual report of the principal school medical officer was being considered. The report quoted the organiser for school meals as saying that nearly one-third of the school children on the island have school dinners, and more than half of them are served at the secondary schools. In view, therefore, of the high proportion of children who are receiving a good, balanced midday meal in the secondary schools, it is debatable whether there is much to be gained by also providing milk in these schools. Mr. Eve Stowell quoted this part of the report and then proposed that the supply be stopped. Mr. T.H. Kizik seconded. Councillor Stephen said the authority should not make a snap decision on the question. The report had said only it was debatable. Mr. Williamson vigorously opposed the proposal, saying those children who had to start out from their homes at an early hour would need the milk. It would be too long a stretch for them to the midday meal. Mr. J.E. Quirk said the report also indicated that children at the age of 15 were showing increasingly good health. It could be that the milk supplied over the years before they reached that age contributed to that state of health. Mr. T.W. Neal said the authority should not vote on a debatable medical and dietetic question. He, for one, would not vote. On the division, only three voted for the proposal, Messrs. Stowell and Kizik and Wing Commander Brew, 19 against. And finally, in the Times, the Alamann Times, Friday, July 29th, 1960, this was dated. Are school children drinking too much milk? The school medical officer says they're getting fat. Each day, some 2,300 third-of-a-pint bottles are downed by children attending the island schools. But, says the principal school medical officer, Dr. S.V. Cullen, in his annual report, the necessity for the provision of milk in school may have to be reviewed. Why? Well, apparently Manx school children are getting fatter. It seems they've never had it so good. Says Dr. Cullen, it's now an accepted fact that during the past few decades, the health and physique of school children has improved. School meals and milk and the higher standard of living since the war have largely contributed to this, but the school health service has also played its part. It is rare today to see a child who is undernourished, and since the number of fat children seen by the school medical officer is increasing, I don't think you can say that anymore, the inclination now appears to be in the opposite direction. If this tendency to obesity in school children continues, the necessity for the provision of milk in school may have to be reviewed, especially as many children now have school dinners. At the moment, reports Dr. Cullen, approximately 2,300 third-of-a-pint bottles of TT, or pasteurised milk, are delivered daily to the island schools. Around 1,000 of those are supplied free of charge. School dinners provided now top the 2,000 mark, and an extension to the Albert Road Ramsey kitchens means that 150 more meals will go by container to these smaller country schools at the Doon, Andreas, Bride, St. Jude's, Sulby, Balaff and Kirkmichael. The organiser of school meals comments, This further development will assure that any child who has to travel a distance to school will be supplied with a hot dinner. During 1959, periodical medical inspections were carried out, as in previous years, and children were examined at the ages of 5, 8, 12 and 15. The total number of children in all age groups requiring treatment was 134, or 5.32%. However, only one child out of a total of 2,521 examined in the periodic age groups was considered to have an unsatisfactory physical condition, said Dr. Cullen. So from shoeless urchins in rags to rather plump schoolchildren possibly being overfed. Oh, I believe milk is still available at dinner, even with this latest change in primary schools. And we certainly had school milk, although I think I paid for mine when I was in primary school. It's come a long way, it would seem. And for the better, you would argue, whether the debate now might be our children rather overweight rather than chronically underweight. No doubt that will rage on for some time. Whichever way you look at it, of course, it's old news. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.